Volleyball takes down the number one, women's soccer defeats number four, and students return for the 2025-2026 school year. Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 1 of Talkin' Dogs. I'm Kai Ulbrich, here with our newest team member, Aaron Spivey. Aaron, you were on a couple episodes last year,
yeah.
But why don't you officially introduce yourselves as part of the Talkin' Dogs team?
With pleasure. Hey guys, I'm Aaron Spivey. I'm so excited to be part of the team, with Kai here, and be part of the Talkin' Dog podcast. It's truly an honor to be here. But speaking of which, Lan, I miss you, man. Like, it's been a long time summer, though. Just being back here, seeing everyone back at campus, though. Like, what's it like now, man?
Dude, it's been great. You know, you're talking about you coming back, me coming back. Like you mentioned, of course, that means everyone else is back as well. We've got a big freshman class this year. Lots of new faces on campus.
Exactly. But then I was back at home, and I heard about the big situation that happened in Concordia. Like, so tell me about that. What happened, man?
Yeah, so we didn't mention it in the intro, but while a lot of the teams, like football, men's and women's soccer, cross-country, some people were here for that. But if you were keeping up with your Seward news, keeping up on maybe the Seward Facebook channels, you would have seen something about the big storms that happened in Seward about 2 weeks ago. So storms, winds reaching over 80 miles an hour, tore through Seward, Lincoln, made their way to Omaha, left a lot of damage in its wake. Lots of trees on campus had to be cut down, some very old ones. We were just talking to Professor Beck, and he was saying that there's some over 100-year-old trees that are at risk of coming down.
Exactly, and that much history going down is insane. Like, I didn't even hear about this as well. That's insane right there.
Yeah, it's nuts. But there was some good that came out of this as well. So we got to see the Seward community kind of come together and help a lot of the people impacted. Part of those efforts were the different sports teams. And we've just got a couple of quotes from some different athletes and coaches about the cleanup efforts. So we had Coach Dabberkow of the football team. Football guys were a big part of the recovery efforts. Obviously, there's a lot of them, and they're usually on the stronger side of people. So they were able to help, you know, take trees out of people's yards, get branches taken away. And he said that his team was super proactive about it even before he had reached out to his team. He said, before I had even sent a team message out to them, we already had guys who were lifting branches off of cars and helping people in the local neighborhood just south of campus get out from underneath all the stuff that was burying their yard and house. And so we had multiple crews all over town throughout the day. I don't remember anyone stopping for lunch. It was an early long day, but very rewarding to see our guys just step up and just go serve. So just really awesome from the football team. I know we had some of the men's soccer guys, we were out helping people. The women's soccer team, I know volleyball, right, was out helping people as well. So it was just really cool to see the whole community come together and just help each other out.
And this is why I love the community, man. This is why I love being this part of this Concordia community, because we all here are here together. Mm-hmm. And that's just that's what I love about being here at Concordia, man.
Yeah, and while the storms meant that some teams had to maybe miss some practices, I know football had to postpone a scrimmage. We're just talking about volleyball helping out. Them missing some practices does not seem to have hindered their success early on in the season. Aaron, why don't you talk about their first week of games?
So obviously, with first game against York, it was a clean sweep, like 3-0, and that was a good way to start the season in 1-0. The next game against Columbia, they lost a set, but they still won 3-1, mm-hmm, which is even better. Then I don't know which one was that was like the number one team, because I wasn't.
Yeah, in Indiana Wesleyan is the kind of the big story of the day. So, yeah, why don't you take us away with that?
So, being that they defeated the number one team, Indiana Wesleyan, 3-2, which was a fight of the – it was a big fight. It was that was, like, the biggest upset that has happened. And for those volleyball girls, I know they were sparks flying and easily happy. But then after that, they played Mid-America 3-0, finishing their beginning of the season 4-0 at the start of this season. This team right here is ready to, like, make a statement for this GPAC conference.
Yeah, they're the real deal. They've been super highly ranked for a long time. Last year, they were ranked 2 a lot of the year. A lot of that is because of Northwestern. They have been historically the number one team the last couple seasons, but they have dropped in the rankings this year, and I'm sure that when we get the next coaches pull out, we might see Concordia up at number one.
Number one.
It always kind of sucked for GPAC because, you know, you've got Concordia, who's always in the top 5, Northwestern, who's usually number 1, and then Midland is always in the top 25 as well. So the GPAC is a very tough conference for volleyball. You've got 3 of the top 25s for sure, sometimes even 4. just a big ask for the girls to do well in the GPAC, and somehow they always do. And I think this one might be the year where we finally take that GPAC championship and make it far at Nationals.
To be honest, I'll be excited for these home games, because when they get a home game, it's like full whiteout. I'm excited. I'm going to be right there.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see it.
It's going to be great. And they made it far at Nationals last year, but not looking too far ahead of that. They've still got games coming up. They've got 4 games coming up this weekend, which hoping to make that, you said they're 4-0 right now.
4-0.
Hoping to make it 8-0. Heading into, I guess, the second week of action.
Yep.
So, obviously, amazing week for volleyball. Almost equally as amazing for women's soccer. So, they had a fantastic week. Started off maybe not so perfect.
Right.
Against the University of Science and Arts of Oklahoma. They're a top 25 team. It was a very interesting game. I went to that one, and first minute of the game, the other team gets a penalty kick and scores, so we're down 1-0.
Already,
1 minute into the season opener.
Okay, then.
So you're thinking rough day, you know, top 25 team, this could be, this could suck.
Yeah.
But about 10 minutes later, we get a breakaway, a shot on goal, it beats the goalkeeper, but then one of the other team's defenders hits the ball with her hand to keep it out of the goal.
So handball.
Handball, red card.
Ooh.
And a penalty kick.
Wait, a red card for handball?
Red card for they call it a dog so.
Okay.
Denial of obvious goal-scoring opportunity is a red card.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that means they're playing with 10 players the rest of the game, and we get a penalty kick. So we scored the penalty kick to make it 1-1.
Right.
Then by halftime, we had made it 3-1.
Ooh.
We went up 3-1 on them. Unfortunately, we were unable to hold that lead, and ended up giving up 2 more free kick goals. So a free kick and then another penalty kick late in the game. 3-3, so a bit disappointing to let a team that has one less player come back on you like that.
Yep.
But still, a tie against a ranked opponent is never something to scoff at.
I would give respect for it, because it's like it's a top. I mean, soccer is no sport, because you got to go back and forth as well. Mm. So being tied is not good, but it's not bad. It's like there's things that you gotta work on.
Yeah, for sure. My coach always says there's ties that feel like wins and there's ties that feel like losses. I think if it was a normal game, this would be a tie that felt like a win. But given that University of Science and Arts of Oklahoma had a red card, you would think that one probably felt a little bit more like a loss.
Yeah.
Just given the situation of being up 2 goals. But it looks like that may have lit a bit of a fire under them, because then just 2 days later, they went and achieved their biggest victory ever.
Yep, and I was at that game too, because I was working for the webcast director, mm-hmm. and I saw that.
So yeah, you can tell us a little bit about that, but it was a win against number 4 Columbia College from Missouri. Number 4 in the country, we are unranked. And we ended up beating them 3-1. And it's not like we had 3 lucky shots and they just killed us the whole game. The shot count was 18-11 in favor of us. 13 shots on goal to 9. So
wow.
this was not a we were just sitting back the whole game and then we got 3 lucky breakaways or a lucky free kick. No, we dominated this game.
Yeah, they did. They did, and I saw all of that. I saw all of how the breakaway speed, the way that they were working together, passing the ball and keeping, you know, Columbia at 1 while basically playing great defense as well. I mean, that's just a spectacular way to come out after tying against our top 25 ranked opponent.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at the goalkeeper performances. Aaliyah Matthews in the Concordia net faced 9 shots on goal, saved 8 of them, only let 1 in. Natalie Allison from Columbia, she faced 13 shots on goal and gave up 3. The goal scorers for the Bulldogs were Guadalupe Sanchez with her first career goal, Charlie Priester, with one of her first goals as well, and then the name we all recognize, Kirsten Garner.
Yep.
Broke into the 50-goal club for Concordia Women's Soccer. I believe only the 5th athlete ever to do that.
Congratulations on her end right there.
Yeah, and then the assists go to Elena Ruiz, and then Guadalupe Sanchez as well, and then Kirsten had an assist also. So a great performance from our women's soccer team. They have a game coming up on Wednesday against Dakota State University in Madison, South Dakota. So good luck to the ladies.
Yep.
And then last but not least, for sports that have done stuff. We have men's soccer, unfortunately not quite as good of a result as the women's soccer and volleyball. We've had one game so far against Columbia College. We ended up losing that one 1-0. It was a goal off a corner kick. We cleared out the first one, and then they got it back in, and just a bit of a scuffle in the box, and they hit it in. We just weren't able to get very much offense going.
Right.
I don't know if you saw any of that game.
I saw like the box score. I saw a couple of yellow cards in that game, and the one ejection as well too.
Yeah. So we did end up getting kind of three yellow cards and a red card. The red card happened in the last minute of the game, so it didn't really impact it too much.
Right.
That red card was from Adrian. Just two yellow cards that were a bit unfortunate. So. Right. Unfortunately, that means he has to miss our next game.
Really? That's the rule?
Yeah, yep. So you miss the next game if you get a red card. The yellows don't really mean much unless you get a bunch of them. Then they suspend you after a little bit. But we had six shots, just one on target. Columbia had 11 shots, three on target. So not too big of a disparity in that, but they still did lead in that. Nolan Fulberth and our net had one save, and so did Caden Hoff in the Columbia goal. So it's a very young team. We have 14 newcomers. A lot of freshmen played. A lot of transfers played. So we're still kind of melding as a team. So trust me, things will get better.
I'll agree, because no, it's not how you start. It's how you like finish in back with it. So
exactly,
I think team's wrong.
We found out over the last 2 years we've had a lot of early season success,
right?
And then still have not won the GPAC yet in the last two seasons. So got to stay focused, work on what we need to work on, keep melding as a team, and then get to winning when it matters.
Yep.
And one of the next steps for that is our trip to St. Louis coming up. We leave on Wednesday, and then we have two games in Missouri, one in Fulton against William Woods University on August 28th, and then a game versus Missouri Baptist University on August 30th in St. Louis. So looking forward to those two games, hoping we can have a bit of a better, especially offensive performance. Defensively, we were okay. You know, we only gave up the one goal.
Right.
Our defenders played well. It was just getting the ball up the field and getting good quality chances is what we struggled with.
Yeah, so that's a good thing to come in. But speaking of that, we got obviously two teams that are coming up for their season next week as well. We got the football team coming up next week as well, and obviously cross country. So tell me more about that one, Kai.
Yeah, so football team, they've been getting ready for a while. They've been here like 4 weeks at this point doing their fall camp. They've got some scrimmages under their belts. They're looking sharp. They're looking strong, ready to take on the GPAC, probably with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder this year. They felt a bit hard done after the end of last season, where they went 8-2, were a ranked team, and were not picked for postseason for the national tournament.
I can see the fire in their eyes and basically a chip on their shoulder, but they say that's in the past and they're ready to make a statement for this year.
Yes, for sure. And they've got a pretty big game coming up. The first game of the year is against our rival,
Doan. And it's a night game, and knowing that the lights are going to be turning up, I'm pretty sure that hopefully we can have a full packed crowd right there for this night game, for the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about it. What the first game season opener is against your rival school. Like,
yes.
That's the best feeling ever.
Can't ask for much more than that. The night game, you always love it. You love the light show at Bulldog Stadium.
Yep.
Nothing quite like it. So hopefully we can pack the stands for that one and, you know, have a great performance against Doan.
Hopefully you can see that right
there. Yep, and then to wrap us up, we've got cross country. They've got their kind of a scrimmage, but like their pre-meet race.
And so with the alumni too, because alumni runners can go on that one as well too.
Oh, awesome. So yeah, we'll have some good competition. The new guys get to meet the old guys.
Yep.
Always fun doing that. And yeah, looking forward to seeing how they shape up. They've got their first thing coming up pretty soon as well. September 5th is the Augustana University Twilight Run in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And that one, talking about the night football game, we've got a night cross country meet. It starts at 8:40 p.m.
That's late.
Yeah. So weather should be good for that one.
Absolutely.
Gotta love a night race.
I love that. Sometimes I want to do like a night triple jump sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That'd be fun. Yeah,
I know it would be.
Triple jump under the lights.
Yes.
Yeah. But so we've got all of that coming up. We've got, we said, volleyball, soccer going on already, football, and cross country in the wings.
Right.
Looking forward to this year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be fun to the first step. Even though this is the first episode, we got more updates coming up too, man.
Yes, this one's a bit of a shorter one, but we'll be here for some very in-depth coverage as we get into I guess later on in the, I guess, sports seasons and school year.
Absolutely.
So, but for now, this has been Kai Ulbrich and Aaron Spivey and the Talking Dogs. Follow us on the CUNE Sower website and on Spotify. And from us and everyone else at the Sower newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs!